This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, if we do have breaking news just coming in, Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs is facing charges accused of strangulation and assault. According to court paperwork, the incident happened December 2nd. Today in Dedham District Court, his lawyers are fighting to have that police report impounded. We'll let you know what the judge decides. Diggs is expected to be arraigned January 23rd. We are reaching out to the Patriots for comment right now. We'll let you know when we hear.
Welcome back. You hear there, that's the latest from Boston 25, who had the report as earliest as I saw it about Stephon Diggs facing serious criminal charges. Patriots have come out with their own statement where they sound like they are supporting Stephon Diggs, and he categorically is denying all of those charges. But now we are joined, as Jones and Keefe always are every Tuesday, by Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, thanks so much for joining during another holiday week and one with a lot of crazy breaking news right now. So I'll just ask you, as somebody who's covered this team through many similar charges, incidents, news stories, what is your immediate reaction to this breaking news?
That's the reaction.
Okay.
Because I've come to learn to not lead with my chin in situations like this. Given that the incident happened on December 2nd, and we heard murmurs and rumors about it last week and checked into it a bit, and there was no police report that we were able to find. So given that this happened December 2nd, it's now December 30th, I wonder if police were called. We don't know that on the date. Doesn't seem to have been an arrest, although there's a court appearance, but didn't seem to be an arrest at the time of the situation. But again, I don't want to lead with my chin and say there wasn't an arrest because I don't know that. So to me, if Diggs is refuting and denying categorically all charges, then it's best to wait and see what the situation is. I talked to somebody and they mentioned that in court, the conversation more centered around a financial dispute than the actual assault. But again, I wasn't at court, so that's secondhand information I'm relaying, whether or not that's so. Take that for what it's worth.
So I can at least back you up on that with some new reporting from Boston 25, Tom, that Michael DiStefano, who Diggs has retained as an attorney, disclosed to the court, according to Boston 25, that Diggs has made a financial offer to resolve the dispute with the alleged victim in the case. DiStefano said, quote, as we speak, they're working to come to an agreement on that.
Okay. And they're asking two Diggs attorneys to impound the report, I believe. And that has not been weighed on yet by the court. So looks like something happened. He's asking him, hey, can I give you some money and shut up about it? But not an arrest. So what's the relevance to the football team? Because if Diggs was a normal citizen, we would be going on about our business. The relevance of it is because he's a football player. So what does it do to the football team? To me, probably minimal, because I think that players are pretty much used to incidents off the field, which can be distractions. And they are then cautioned by their coaches to say, worry about yourself. Steph has his stuff. We all have our stuff. Do your own thing.
So, Tom, I want to follow up on that a little bit, because the Patriots came out with a statement and it says Stephon informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. Then the next sentence, it says we support Stephon. So do you have any sense of how long the organization may have known about this and kind of if they've been in lockstep with Diggs all the way along? Because it seems like a pretty strong statement to me that they are backing him on this and that he denies it.
Yeah, the statement itself sounds as if they're already up to speed and can confidently say that we support Stefan in this. So that's a smart read, I think, on your part. Because you can't be, again, if you're an organization, you can't say we categorically or we fully support our player and find out later that you shouldn't have. So whatever Steph has explained the situation to have been, apparently the Patriots feel good about being able to say we support him. I do know that as of last week when this first surfaced, and there's a lot of things that surface over the course of time, this player did that, this coach was seen here, where the police were involved there. You hear those things, but you don't lead with them. So when there was no further information in terms of arrest or police involvement last week, we felt as if it was some kind of rumor. The Patriots had not, the individuals that we contacted with the Patriots as of last week had not heard of this. So it might have really come to a head in the last few days, or the people who I was speaking to were not looped in on the situation.
One aspect of this that I'm wondering if you can, you know, put some context around or your opinion of it is, with Mike Vrabel, this is his second stint as a head coach. I was trying to remember and rack my brain if he's ever been in a position as a head coach where, at the very least, this is a distraction. I mean, these are serious charges if they're accurate and he has to go forward through the criminal justice system. But how do you see Mike Vrabel, you know, at his very best being able to keep the team focused as he has all year and also just handle this kind of situation this late in the season with a very serious playoff run that could be on the horizon?
I don't know. I mean, every situation's different. It's a veteran player, but it's an extremely celebrated player. The intensity of the coverage of Stefon Diggs is going to be far different than it would have been if it was any other player on the team. And that almost to an extent includes Drake May, because it's going to stretch into pop culture conversations as well. So the tentacles will reach much, much, much further. So the fallout is much more significant. But I think if you're Mike Vrabel, if you're the Patriots yourselves, you don't really care about the tentacles and what people in Spain have to say, or Argentina, or weighing in on Cardi B's boyfriend. You really just try and worry about the Dolphins and getting ready for Quinn Ewers. It just keep what is relevant to you relevant while expressing to your employee support, but also an ask, I would think, for transparency and honesty from your employee so that you can move forward and not look like a dunce later on. That's really important, I think, to employers in this situation, is to be included in the conversation so that you don't look stupid later. I think that's vital for Diggs in this situation too, because I think we live in a somewhat forgiving society, at least as fans, depending upon your status. And again, he's a celebrity because he plays football. So how does it pertain to the football is what I think most football fans will care about. Unfortunately, I hope whatever individual and whatever altercation happened, the individual is fine. I would imagine he is, given that this is a felony strangulation as opposed to anything more exacerbated.
Right.
So, Tom, the Patriots had a situation somewhat similar to this last year with Jabril Peppers, where he was arrested, assault charges. He was eventually acquitted, but for a time was placed on that commissioner's exempt list. It was, I think, for about a month or so. Do you get any sense that that could be something that happens here? Because he does have that arraignment January 23rd, which would be 2 days before the AFC Championship game. Do you think Diggs could potentially be placed on the commissioner's exempt list or something different? Like, what might be the next steps here?
It's a very good question, because it is current in terms of it just happened last year. I think the situation could seem a bit different. That seemed to be domestic violence. Or if I not seem to be, it was a charge of domestic violence, and the charge was fairly significant in terms of the amount of violence that visited upon the accuser. So again, they moved on from it, but on the face, it would have been very difficult for an individual to go into the stands and look at that player and say, well, that's the optics of it, right? I mean, it's why when Rashee Rice was playing last year with the charges against him as a Kansas City Chief and the number of people who were injured on a Houston highway with him speeding at 110 miles an hour in a drag race, it was absolutely for me as an individual consumer to look at him and not have my stomach turn. And I think with the Jabril Peppers, that is what you have to process as an organization. Can we put this person on the field with a straight face and not have our stomach turn about it? And I think with Peppers, that was the situation that they had. I don't have enough information on Diggs, as you don't either, to know how repellent the situation was. Doesn't sound great, but I can't say right now, as I'm sure you understand.
Yes, absolutely. We wouldn't ask you to speculate or be irresponsible that way. I guess just moving away from this for a minute, because there is actual football that's being played on Sunday. I did want to get your reaction to the decision by Jim Harbaugh to sit Justin Herbert, give him some time to heal. From a Patriots perspective, what do you think that says about him being comfortable enough with his team traveling out to Foxborough? They knew they were going to have to be on the road either way, but coming out to Foxborough and playing the Patriots here in a playoff game, what do you think that says about their view of the team?
I would imagine they have absolute plausible deniability to sit there and say, look, it's about keeping our players healthy. We have a game against an intense team in Denver. We don't need to put Justin Herbert in the line of fire this week. So we're going to have to travel one way or the other. Regardless, we'd rather make sure that Justin Herbert is traveling with us. But certainly, too, Mego, you understand that if they win the game, again, I'm trying to get the map in my head correct, but the bottom line is if the Chargers won that game, they would move up, the Bills would move down, the Patriots would then draw the Bills. I think it's better for the Patriots to draw the Chargers anyway. Certainly the Chargers are insinuating that we're good. We're not going to try and win the game against Denver. We're satisfied remaining the 7th seed. We'll just hang here and go out to New England and take our chances there. And it's kind of what I've talked about on the station a few times. I think the teams are going to look at the Patriots and say, great story, great quarterback, great coach. This team's going to be good for a long time. But really, I think that our roster can hold them down, and all we have to do is stop Drake May, who also happens to be now the favorite to be the league MVP. Might be easier said than done, but I think teams will be willing to take their chances. It's not an entire unit. It's not the Houston defense. It's not the Broncos defense. It's the Patriots offense led by an off-the-charts performance in this season by Drake May. So I think the teams will respectfully say, we'll take that chance.
Tom, following up on that, with Matt Stafford's 3 interceptions last night, you mentioned Drake May, the MVP favorite. Do you view him as the MVP favorite? And if so, is there anything that could happen this coming week against Miami that would drastically change that one way or the other?
No, I had him as the favorite yesterday. I think he really deserved to be in pole position prior to Stafford's performance. The reason being, the only thing that Stafford's doing at a higher clip is touchdown passes and picks. Now that's gone in terms of picks because they're now tied with picks. But in terms of yardage, Drake May has generated more yards. He's run for 428, I believe, and Stafford's run for 28. And that 400 yards would bring you to a greater total of yards generated, plus the 4 touchdowns that May has generated with his feet changes that gap between the two in touchdowns generated significantly. You also have a team that's finishing with a higher record, with a higher seed, and you can talk about schedule, but what Drake May has done, the numbers he's got the right now, the 16th highest passer rating in history going for him. And he's got a reduced, and I've always talked about value with the most valuable player award. It really is important. And the surrounding cast of Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, really is more impressive than what the Patriots are trotting out there.
I would agree with that. I think that yesterday was, in my opinion, kind of what shifted the tide. And I know obviously the sports books reflect that, but seems like Matthew Stafford kind of played himself, at least out of the conversation today, out of that for that award. Tommy Curran, you can find him on NBC Sports Boston. You can find him on the Patriots Talk podcast. Tom, thanks for joining us, shedding some light on a serious situation and giving some good context to it, as always.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That was Tommy Curran. Tommy Curran is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Proud to be local since 1860. Obviously, more information continues to come out from this Stephon Diggs situation. We're going to continue following that, and we'll get back to some actual Patriots football talk after trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is a great song, Jackson. Did you choose this one?
I did choose this one, yes.
Love Tracy Chapman. Tracy Chapman, hopefully she got a little bit of a resurgence after Fast Car, that cover, like, really took off.
Hopefully, yeah.
I hope she has some serious royalties to that song.
She should, right? I mean, that was her song, and that was like, I remember listening to that song on a cassette tape on a little radio with my mom back in the day, which is a weird memory that just came up.
No, I remember listening to that song, like, riding in my parents' car home from basketball practice and, you know, looking out a window wistfully when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Being like, a fast car. Got to get out of this town as an 8-year-old. Tracy Chapman makes you feel all the feelings. It's been a really crazy day here because, of course, about an hour ago, we got the breaking news from Boston 25 that Stephon Diggs is facing charges in Dedham. His attorney, this is another part. The story just keeps getting stranger and stranger. If you're just catching up, facing criminal charges. He is charged, according to Fox 25, with felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery charges stemming from an incident on Tuesday, December 2nd. Who is Diggs' attorney, according to this report? When Michael DiStefano, who made a remote appearance in Dedham District Court on Tuesday, that's today, seeking to have the police report impounded, arguing that the details should remain sealed. So if that maybe sounds familiar to you, who is Michael DiStefano?
He was connected to the Karen Reed case. So I think he was one of Proctor's lawyers, some of those Karen Reed experts. Feel free to let us know. I follow the case, obviously, but not as intensely as some other folks. But yeah, you got your celebrity lawyers in New England. You got your Barry Feinstein, your Jim Sokolov, and I guess Michael DiStefano, and that lady that defended Jack Jones, too, whose name escapes me.
Oh, Rosemary Scarpaccio.
Yeah, her. So those are your celebrity.
I love her. My client!
Those are your celebrity lawyers in New England, and Diggs picked one of them, so.
Yeah.
And it says a remote appearance is, I guess, interesting. I guess he called into the courthouse to, you know,
where's he based out of?
I couldn't tell you.
Because I'm going to admit, I didn't follow the Karen Reed case super closely. I watched the documentary series. Did you ever watch that? It was on HBO.
No.
It was called, like, Body in the Snow.
No,
I thought it was really well done. Like, regardless of
they actually do a great job of documentaries, HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Side note.
I love the docu-series. I could watch those all day. But whatever your persuasion was in that case, like, whatever you thought the truth was, I thought that they did a really clear job, like a really interesting job of laying out the stories around it. So I gotta be honest, I don't remember who he was in it. I think he is local though, because I'm seeing if it's the same person is Boston. I know that there's people who are deeply involved in this and like deeply interested in it, so I'm gonna stop talking about it because I'm gonna sound stupid. But Michael DiStefano, I already sound stupid. Michael DiStefano is the attorney who is representing Stephon Diggs, according to Boston 25. If we get any more information about this, we're going to continue updating you. One other piece that is probably interesting, as Tommy Curran, who we just heard from, noted, DiStefano disclosed to the court today that Diggs has made a financial offer to resolve the dispute with the alleged victim in the case. Quote, as we speak, they're working to come to an agreement on that, DiStefano said. So the judge said she'd take the request under advisement. She would issue a ruling, quote, shortly.
And one other piece, it says here that we talked about there being a next arraignment January 23rd, right before the AFC Championship game. Just added to the Boston 25 story, the judge agreed to consider a request to extend Diggs' arraignment date to March. So doesn't mean it's being moved to March. The judge has agreed to consider moving it to March, which obviously would be well after the football season.
That's, I mean, does that tell you that then it's so he can play?
That's
what the assumption
would
be,
why
right?
else would he do it, right? Like, yeah, that would be my guess. Why else would he extend it to March?
Well, because I think probably most people's knee-jerk reaction would be that he'd be on the commissioner's list, just like Peppers. Yeah. Again, different situation as far, like, we don't know the details of the extent of what's being accused against Stephon Diggs because the police report hasn't been released of whatever happened, what the exact accusations are, what kind of victim it was, all of that. As Tommy Curran detailed, will probably matter in terms of how this affects his ability to play football with the New England Patriots. But I think that if you're hoping that Stephon Diggs is going to be on the field with them in the playoffs, the matter of them trying to push that arraignment back would suggest that they think that that's a real possibility, that he'll still be playing.
And one, I think, baby worthy note here is we talked previously about the strong statement the Patriots came out with in support of him. I went back to look because Jarrell Peppers was put on the commissioner's list last year.
And again, that was a domestic situation.
Different situation.
But, we don't know the details of
but
this
their
yet.
Statement in support of him, not nearly as strong as their statement in support of Diggs today. So just, again, little tea leaves reading, but the statement from the Patriots today, when they say he informed the organization.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read that again? Because I think that that is also instructive if you're wondering where the Patriots come down on this news coming out.
Yeah, so the statement from the team, which was released about 20 minutes or so after the news broke, so about, you know, half hour, 40 minutes ago or so from now, the New England Patriots are aware of the accusations that have been made regarding Stephon Diggs. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon. We will continue to gather information. We'll cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities and the NFL as necessary. Out of respect for all parties involved, and given that this is an ongoing legal matter, we will have no further comment at this time.
I said that, and I said this immediately after you first shared this. This is a really strong backing of Stephon Diggs. This tells me that if he's being transparent and honest with his side of what went down or trying to disclose all details that he has about what he knows, they feel confident in backing him. This is a very, in my opinion, seems as a very strong support of Stephon Diggs.
I would agree. And I think the two key parts of it here to me, Mego, is has informed the organization. So when you say that, it's not he informed Coach Vrabel, he informed the team. So when you put in organization, that makes me think Crafts, that makes me think front office, including Elliot Wolf, and it makes me think Mike Vrabel. So when you say you inform the organization, that means decision makers from the top down know. And then for the very next sentence to be three words, we support Stephon. That makes me think that the Crafts, Wolf in the front office, Vrabel and the coaching staff and teammates as well, believe him and support him in this. And maybe they'll turn out to be right. Maybe they'll turn out to be wrong. But those two pieces of this, he told everybody. Now, regardless of, now we don't know if he told them a month ago, 3 days ago, whatever. But he told everybody, and they believe him.
Well, just think about who is the organization, as you put it there. This ain't their first rodeo. They've been down this road before in many, well, at least different branches of this road. They know how sour it can go if they're wrong or if they feel that they're on the wrong side of things. So I think the statement tells you that they feel like these are accusations. I'm not saying that's what I think. I don't have the details. All I have are the information that reporters, primarily Fox 25, are coming out with. But the very, to your point that they say, these are accusations that have been made against Stephon.
They don't even say incident, right?
They don't even say charges.
Right. Just says he categorically denies the allegations. So it says accusations and allegations.
We support Stephon. That's the message from the New England Patriots. So take that as you may. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to weigh in on this breaking news or anything that's actually about Patriots football. I'm going to take this call. Let's see how it goes. Jake in Boston, you're on.
What's up, gang? So 7 years after Antonio Brown a receiver with the same type of history. We're doing it again. Except the difference is, and to Tom Curran's note, this is the motivation. You've sucked for the last 6 years. And the owner wasn't just arrested for some seedy stuff that could be connected by media to write stories and all that. You also had multiple people on that 2019 team say, if Antonio Brown was on that team, he'd win a Super Bowl. So that's the decision you got to make right now. Is it about the 6 years that you've sucked, or is it about the moral high ground this organization has taken with the likes of, I don't know, Christian Peter or Antonio Brown? Like Brown, there is a history here. And I think I was the only one calling the stations here, wondering why the extracurricular activities, including threats on a male influencer, was not given the time of day by reporters. And I think some of that, I hate to say it, guys, I think some of it is that side of Twitter where Cardi B and Nicki Minaj are speaking in languages that most, you know, graduates of Maryland journalism school don't understand, or highly established journalism school don't understand. They don't get the time of day. The other thing is if I learned anything from Deflategate, Mego, if you do something like destroy your phone, or in this case, make a financial offer to make it go away, is that not admitting your guilt in a very public way and thus gives it new context? If you were really innocent, right, you don't need to destroy your phones, Tom Brady, or you don't need to make a financial offer, right? So I wonder.
Okay, thank you, Jake. Look, I will just say, like, I don't know the details of this case. We did see that DiStefano had discussed, according to Boston 25, a financial arrangement. There is a feeling when people settle, whether it's like out of court, whatever, that that's an admission of something. That's not always the case.
It's not.
It's not. And I don't know the information. I just think that I wouldn't equate smashing a phone or settling as the same thing. You know, we don't know. We don't even know the details of this case yet. I understand the knee-jerk reaction, of course. But I'm not even sure those comparisons are fair, because there's three sides, you know, his side, the other person's side, and the truth. And hopefully whatever semblance of the truth comes out. And for the Patriots' sake, because this statement so strongly backs Stephon Diggs, I hope that they're just looped in on all the information that they should be, because this is a strong statement from them backing Stephon Diggs.
And there's a 413 texter, and they say, no offense, but what are they supposed to say? We don't support Stephon? Well, they could have cut him. They could have said, we're aware of the incident or gathering information. They could have just said nothing. And instead, they came out and said, he informed the organization and we support Stephon. Like, to me, that is significant, because that word organization tells me ownership knows, front office knows, coaching staff knows, and then we support Stephon, three-word next sentence. That's significant, because so many times with these teams, like with incidents like this, and not just with the Patriots, but all over the NFL, all over sports, you get some sort of statement. Like the statement about Jabril Peppers last year says, we are aware of an incident involving Jabril Peppers and we have no further comment. That's a heck of a lot different than this statement.
They said, we support Stephon.
Like, that's a lot different than the statement they
that's
just put out.
That's throwing their lot in with it.
Exactly.
Jonathan Jones, somebody who I have a ton of respect for as a reporter, he's the lead NFL insider for NFL on CBS. He says the NFL has a statement on the charges against Stephon Diggs. Quote, we are aware of the matter and we have been in contact with the club. We have no further comment at this time. Okay, so I guess that tells us that the NFL is now talking to the Patriots. That's all we know there. So this is a fast developing story. I think the implications are maybe not as huge as I thought they were right away. It's a really big story, and it seems like it's going to be a really messy story, especially given the level of celebrity that Stephon Diggs has. But when
ABC News already has this.
When it seems to be up in the air whether he'll even be on the commissioner's list, as you heard Tommy Curran say, it's kind of about like whether it feels wrong for him to be out there playing football or not, somebody that you're going to cheer for on the field or not, based on what the details of whatever these allegations are. I think that the very matter that he may still be playing football makes it, at least from a football perspective, like less of when you first see strangulation and suffocation charges, according to Boston 25's original report, you're like, okay, that's it. That's done. Like, he's done. He's not playing. I don't over the last hour, I feel like it's developed a little bit away from that.
Their statement tells me he's going to play unless the NFL tells them not to play him. Like, and I mean suspension, commissioner's exemplarist, whatever. But like their statement tells me, and who knows about the Dolphins game? They might rest guys anyway. But like come playoff time, they're going to play him unless they're told not to, unless something else comes out. That's what that statement tells me. To say we support Stephon after it talks about him and categorically denying the the allegations, that tells me they plan on playing him, whether it's this week against Miami, the wild card round after that. But that's what that statement tells me. Because if they weren't going to play him or they weren't sure, they would have left themselves some wiggle room. They would have just said, we're gathering information.
They would have given the NFL statement, which is we are aware of the matter and have been in contact with the club. We have no further comment.
Exactly. If they weren't going to play him or they weren't sure, that's the statement we would have read. This statement tells me they have every intention of playing him unless something else happens.
How much of this is in the Patriots' hands versus the NFL?
It's interesting, right? Because I think the NFL, with incidents like these, would much rather the team handle it so they don't have to. Because then when the NFL steps in, then teams complain, people get upset, whatever. They would much rather the team handle it. But it seems like the team, and I'm not saying they're not going to handle it. What I'm saying is, as of now, they're fully behind him. And it feels like they're going to keep playing him. So is the NFL okay with that? Or is the NFL going to say, hey, no, let's put him on the exemplarist and wait it out? And in that case, you're waiting it out at least till the AFC Championship game, maybe the rest of the season, depending on if that arraignment date gets moved. I don't know. So I think the NFL would rather not step in here. But it sounds like the team is going to continue playing him. Like, I don't see evidence that they're not going to.
All right. As you said before, the latest information, Diggs is scheduled to be arraigned Friday, January 23rd, which would be 2 days before the AFC Championship game is scheduled to be played. The judge agreed to consider a request to extend Diggs' arraignment date to March. You can, again, find anywhere this statement from the New England Patriots, where they say they're aware of the accusations. Stephon has informed the organization that he categorically denies the allegations. We support Stephon, is the message from the New England Patriots. We'll get back to football after that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This break. Welcome back, everybody. We've been following a crazy developing story. Crazy in that it just, is developing very quickly. Megan Ottolini with John Lyons. We're with you until 2 p.m. We'll continue to monitor the Stephon Diggs situation down in Dedham. We've been doing the last hour and a half over it. So I would like to turn back to football. But I promise if anything breaks here, if we get any new information, we will turn that conversation back to that just about as quickly as we can. And we have somebody down at the courthouse who is waiting on some potential documents. If we get that, we'll share that as well. In the meantime, though, hey, how about that MVP race?
Nice little segue there, Mego. Yeah.
I just think that when we look at last night, Matthew Stafford played himself out of that MVP award. I think he absolutely played himself out of that MVP award. 3 interceptions against 2 touchdowns. The strongest case that he had, other than his overall narrative, was the touchdown to interception ratio that he has over Drake May. And I just think when you look at, if you want to put stats up against each other, and our friend Mike Cadlick also had common opponents, and the two quarterbacks facing those common opponents, it was 6-0 in Drake May versus 4-2 with Matthew Stafford. So he's the only person who I saw break down those common numbers. Like, winning isn't a total quarterback stat, but winning this year with the Patriots is kind of a total quarterback stat. I just think that this is Drake May's to lose at this point.
Yeah, and I think we talked a lot yesterday about the supporting cast differences between the two guys, and we talked about, what's the line of demarcation where, even though Drake May doesn't have as good a supporting cast, Stafford just puts up numbers that are so big and there's so many touchdown passes that it's overwhelming to any argument. And I think with Stafford's performance last night, okay, two touchdowns, that's fine. He's at 42 for the year. But those three picks now put him at 8, which is the same number as Drake May. So you add in, if you want to throw in Drake's rushing touchdowns too, he's got 4 of those. So he's at 34 touchdowns. Stafford's thrown for 42. Both have thrown 8 picks. Yard-wise, I think Stafford's got a couple hundred, about 245 more yards than Drake May. So the numbers now, Mego, I think are close enough where we can sit here and say, okay, what is the supporting cast? What are the other factors here? And I think if you go into this weekend, by the way, the Rams could rest Stafford, but you go into this weekend, and if you get to the point where May plays really well, Stafford either doesn't or they rest him, I think May's in the driver's seat already, but I think he'll cement it this weekend.
Interesting. I think one thing that you bring up there about the rushing touchdowns is noteworthy, because in today's modern NFL, a pocket passer, especially one that has injuries at times, just is not as valuable to me as a dual threat quarterback. Now, dual threat quarterbacks, maybe they have to transition into being pocket passers as their careers go on. That's a huge debate with Lamar Jackson right now. He's turned into such a great passer of the football that, hey, he cannot be hobbled by these injuries year after year. Yep. He's got to figure out how to just be more of a pocket passer. That's fine. But when you're as young as Drake May is, as early in his career, I do think the mobility that he brings to the position should be considered in the MVP debate. And it's something that I just really haven't seen. I've seen the argument about the numbers. I've seen the argument about strength of schedule working against Drake May. I've seen the argument about who they have around them, as you just so eloquently said. I haven't seen the argument about, hey, one guy, when you're playing man against him, he can just freaking take off like he is Josh Allen, the reigning MVP.
And I think, look, in Stafford's favor, he did have that training camp injury, so there was some concern he wasn't going to play, and he's obviously hit the ground running in September. He's played well all year. But yeah, that's another element to May's game. And that's where, again, when you get to, I don't want to call them tiebreakers, but in a way, tiebreakers, like if one guy is really mobile and can have a different element to his game and the other can't, then I think maybe that's one of those tiebreakers. If one guy has a much better supporting cast, which Stafford does to May, that's kind of one of those tiebreakers, if you will, because they've both had MVP worthy seasons. So what are kind of the tiebreakers there? And I think supporting cast is a big part of it. Now, in Stafford's favor, May has played good defenses. I think Stafford's played better defenses more times, and he's played a tougher schedule, but with a better supporting cast. So, you know, you can kind of split the hairs however you want. I think more of it goes in favor of May. And I think, again, last night, if Stafford had gone out against Atlanta and thrown 4 or 5 touchdown passes, especially considering Atlanta did give Drake May some problems, he had that bad fumble before the end of the first half in that game, it was a 1-point win for the Patriots, then maybe I'd sit here and say, hey, Stafford threw for 4 touchdowns. You know, now he's at 44, 45 touchdowns. He's the guy. 2 touchdowns and 3 picks in a loss against a team that's out of the playoffs. I think, again, when it's this close, sometimes it does come down to 1 or 2 games.
The most recent odds that I saw from DraftKings had Drake May at minus 400, far and away the favorite, Matthew Stafford at plus 300. Second-year quarterbacks who've won MVP include Dan Marino, Kurt Warner, and then, of course, very recently, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the first time that he won it. The only thing that gives me pause about whether this is just absolutely going to be May's award is that the narrative stuff with the people who have the votes matters a lot. And you have Matthew Stafford, what is he, 37? 36 or 37,
yeah.
So he's quite late in his career. He's not going to play like Brady into his early 40s. We didn't even know if he was going to come back for this season.
If they win a Super Bowl, this might be his last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I wonder, the way that it was last year, where it was Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and they're saying, hey, like, well, Lamar has won it twice. Josh has never gotten to win it. Like, that was probably an equally, if not even closer, race between those two. I just think that the stories around these two quarterbacks are so incredibly different. I worry that voters, not just the strength of schedule will be held against Drake May, but they'll look at Drake May and they'll say, "He kid's 23. He's going to have his whole career to win this. We might not see Matthew Stafford again." And, you know, both quarterbacks have overcome a lot. Matthew Stafford being injured to start the season and Drake May playing for a 4 that was really a 3-win team last year and a total turnover of most of his coaching staff. But this is the last chance to give it to Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, and you can call it the Lifetime Achievement Award if you will, but I think Stafford's like obviously very deserving, but from a national media, again, this is the people that vote on this stuff. Do they look at it as this is Stafford's last chance? And do they maybe look at it too, hey, the Rams are the better team, so we'll give it to the guy who we think is the best player on a better team than the Patriots? Like, I think you could see that a little bit from a national perspective, because like you said last year with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think some of the Allen love last year did stem from, hey, he hasn't won it yet. Let's see, let's have him get one. Whereas there's probably voters that look at Drake May and say, oh, he'll win one when he's 25, or he'll win one when he's 28, or he'll win one when he's 36. They look at it as, well, Stafford, he's been a Hall of Fame player. He's won a Super Bowl, but he's never got this. We'll vote for him now. So I think there are some of those ancillary narrative things that from a national voting perspective, you could see break in Stafford's favor.
Okay, we do have some more information coming out with the Stephon Diggs situation. Seems to be pretty delicate, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll address it on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.